I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to separate. I'm willing to serve. I want to please God. When he speaks instinctively, I want to obey. Immediately, I want to obey. Cheerfully, I want to obey. Completely, I want to do everything he says.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the essence of Christian service, and that seems to me to be the burden of the Apostle Paul in the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the essence of Christian service. Many modern men in our modern world suffer from an identity crisis. They do not know who they are, why they are here, or where they're going, but that Christians do not suffer from such an identity crisis. Christians know who they are. They know that they're creatures made in the image of God. They recognize that they're fallen creatures, and that carries some liabilities with it. But they know also that even though they're fallen creatures made in the image of God, that having placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are redeemed creatures, and that the image of God and its many potentials and powers has in large measure been restored in them as a result of their conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know who they are. Creatures made in God's image who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know not only who they are, but why they are here. They know that they are here to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to their God, in a relationship of love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that they are here to spend and be spent. They know that they are here to be servants of the living God. I hope that you know that as a Christian. That's why God has left you here. That's why you remain on earth after your conversion, to spend and be spent, to become the servants of God, to stand in a relationship day by day and moment by moment of love and obedience before the Son of God. Now, the Apostle Paul and the young man Timothy were classic demonstrations of the essence of Christian service. And Paul is appealing to each one of us to follow that demonstration, that example. Every child of God ought to understand the essence of Christian service. And beyond that, he ought to purpose in his heart to engage in it. He ought to understand it and purpose in his heart to engage in it. And Paul wants to give us, in verses 1 to 7, three facets of the essence of Christian service. The first he gives to us is the qualification of a servant, and that is in verse 1. And he says that qualification is twofold. In order to be a servant, a man must first of all be a son. Thou therefore, my son. And in a word, that means he must be saved. Timothy was the son of Paul only in the sense that God had given to Paul the privilege of introducing him to the higher relationship of salvation. He'd become a member of God's family. Indirectly, in that sense, he was a spiritual son of Paul. It is absolutely impossible to set about serving God and to be a servant of God in the biblical sense of the term and the meaningful sense of the term until we have been saved. He must be saved. He must be a son. Secondly, he must be strong. You notice Paul gives to us there a proposition. Be strong. Be endued with power. Let yourself be made strong, more literally. Be wrapped all around. Be robed in the strength and the might of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a proposition. Be strong. There's a principle in the grace. You cannot be strong apart from capitalizing on the grace of God. There's a significant personality. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is no strength, there is no service, there is no salvation, there is no meaning apart from this significant personality, the Lord Jesus Christ. The qualification of a servant, he must be a son of God. He must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The occupation of a servant is in verse 2. In a word, it revolves around the preservation and the transmission of God's truth. Then Paul goes on in verses 3 to 7, and he gives us the third facet of the essence of Christian service. He's given us the qualification of a servant, verse 1. He's given us the occupation of a servant, verse 2. And now he gives to us the illustration of a servant in verse 3. And he gives us three illustrations. One, he says, a true servant of God is like a soldier. A true servant of God is like a soldier. And that's what he says in verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. The emphasis there is on single-mindedness. And then he says, you're like an athlete. That's the second illustration. And that would be in verse 5. If any man also strive for masteries, or compete or contend in the games, literally is what the Greek says. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He says, you're like an athlete. And the emphasis there is on the self-discipline of an athlete. And then he says, beyond that, you're like a farmer. With the emphasis, stick-to-itiveness, the husbandman that laboreth, sticks by the stuff. The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, first of all, Paul says in terms of an illustration, you Christian servants, you people who name the name of Jesus Christ, you who have been born into God's family, you who have been saved, he says you are to become involved in Christian service. And fundamental to that concept is learning to function as a soldier functions in warfare. A good soldier is a man who is willing to do at least three things. And Paul gives those three things to us in verses 3 and 4. Number one, a soldier is a man who is willing to suffer. And then secondly, he's a man who's willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Thirdly, Paul says, he is a man who is willing to serve, that he may please him, serve him, please him, do whatever he says, obey him instinctively, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now let's talk about this for a moment, to be a soldier. It means that the Christian's first duty is that of unquestioned obedience and unconditional loyalty. The early training of a soldier is designed to make him unquestioningly obey the word of command. When he hears the word of command, he responds. It is such instinctive obedience that will save his life and the lives of others in the heat of battle. He's trained to do that. Paul says, I want you to obey that way. I want you to please your heavenly Father, your heavenly commander. When he speaks, obey him. Do what God says, when God says it, with the right heart attitude, joyfully, completely, immediately, obey him. There's a sense in which it is no part of the soldier's duty to know the reason why. It is no part of the duty of a soldier to know the reason why. He doesn't stop and ask, why did you give me that order? He just does it. He's involved in the midst of the battle. He cannot see the overall picture as the commander can. The decisions he must leave to the commander, who sees the whole field, he must instinctively obey when the commander speaks. It is the first duty of the Christian to instinctively and unquestioningly obey the voice of God and to accept even those orders which he cannot fully understand. That's what it means to be a servant of God. That's what it means to be a servant and to be a soldier. You know, Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. John 8, verse 29. I do always those things which please my Father. I wonder how many of us could claim that. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to please our Father? How do we please God? I'm to do those things which please God. What are those things which please God? How do we please God? I'll tell you how we please God. We please God by doing those things which bring glory to his name. Now, you say, that's wonderful, but what are those things which bring glory to his name? I want to please God. I want to be that soldier. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to separate. I'm willing to serve. I want to please God. When he speaks instinctively, I want to obey. Immediately, I want to obey. Cheerfully, I want to obey. Completely, I want to do everything he says. What does he want me to do? How can I glorify his name and thus please him? Let me share with you very briefly, just in outline fashion, the ways in which we glorify the name of God and thus please him. Number one, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do it to the glory of God. Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11 says, when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we do it to the glory of God. Every man will do it eschatologically at the end of the age. We can do it freely and voluntarily here and now. Whenever we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we do it to the glory of God the Father. There's a second way in which we glorify his name and thus please him. When we live a pure life, young people, this is such a powerful thing for you. When we live a pure life through a dedicated body, we glorify God. Flee fornication. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, therefore glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. When we live a pure life through a dedicated body, we please God. Number three, when we confess and forsake our sins, Joshua said to Achan, give my son glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession unto him. When we confess and forsake our sins, Joshua 7 and verse 19, we please God. When we believe God and act accordingly, we please him. Abraham staggered not at the promise, but was strong in faith. He believed God, giving glory to God. Romans 4, 19 to 21. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Number 5, when we bear fruit, we please God. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. John 15, and verse 8. And did you know that the Bible says there are three kinds of fruit that we ought to bear? There's the fruit of character, what we are. There's the fruit of conduct, what we do. And there's the fruit of converts, what we produce. What we are, what we do, and what we produce. Herein is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit, character, conduct, and converts. John 15, and verse 8. Number 6, I'll give you two more. When we praise God from the heart, we please God. I will praise thee, O Lord, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name. Psalm 86, 12. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Psalm 50, verse 23. Praise is comely. Psalm 147, and verse 1. It's a beautiful expression of the heart that's in tune with God, and it's a way of pleasing God, glorifying his name. Number 7, when we live in harmony with God's people. Are you in harmony with God's people today? How many grudges do you carry? What spirit of bitterness prevails in your Christian experience? How many offenses have you failed to forgive? The Bible says that we glorify God, we please God, when we live in harmony with God's people. Be like-minded one toward another. Receive ye, welcome ye one another to the glory of God. Romans 15, verses 5 to 7. These are the ways in which we please our commanding officer. So now, what has Paul said to us? Paul has said, the essence of Christian service is learning to function as a soldier. His function is costly. He knows what it means to suffer. His function is concentrated. He knows what it means to be separate from the other things. His function is comprehensive. He knows what it is to serve, to please God in everything he does, what it means to instinctively respond to the voice of God when he speaks to the heart. So here is the question for us. Are we the kinds of servants God would have us to be? Have we fallen prey to the great scandal of modern Christendom, nominal Christianity? Are we lazy, passive Christians looking for a life of easygoing self-indulgence? Are we always clamoring for that kind of life, or are we willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Have we become so entangled with the affairs of this life, sunk our roots so deeply in the bios, the biological world, the world of human pursuits? Have we become so entangled with the affairs of this life that we have lost all effectiveness in our service for Jesus? Do we make it our moment-by-moment business to please the one who hath chosen us to be a soldier by glorifying his name in every facet of our life? Paul says that's the essence of Christian service. And it was this that God called you to when he called you to himself.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We must be redeeming the time. We must be exercising ourselves unto godliness. That's exactly what you and I must do if we're to be fruitful and bountiful servants of God.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.